actually all of that is cool. But what God is going to say not. Man, last week we started a series, and I've been like waiting to get back to this, like Jesus, the point of it all. And I'm waiting to get back to this because, man, this would be amazing if we could all get this, wouldn't it? The series is pretty much all summed up in the name. Like, I could just get up and be like, hey, Jesus, the point of it all, and we can go sit down, and that'd probably be enough, like, because that's all I'm saying the next couple weeks is that Jesus is the point of it all. It's kind of based off this idea that so many times we get caught up with this question, like, what is life all about? You've heard that question. I used to hear it a lot. I've not heard it in a long time because we're kind of like a individualistic society now. So life's about whatever you want it to be about. That's what everybody's answer at this point in time has come to. And when they figure out that's not really the truth and that doesn't work, they'll go to something else. But there used to be this question that popped up a lot, and it's a very philosophical question, and it was, what is the meaning of life? I know that most of you guys have probably heard it before. Maybe even thought it before, probably more so on bad days than good days. What are we going through this for? What is this happening for? What do we even exist for? This is pointless. Maybe you felt like before. Maybe it is if we have our point in the wrong direction. But the sum kind of total of what we're going to talk about the next couple weeks is that there is a point to life, and that point is Jesus. That point is not happiness. A lot of times people get that mixed up, and they're like, oh, my happiness is the point to life. That's just not true. There's nothing wrong with happiness, but it's not the point of life. Some people think, man, money must be the point of life. Well, that's not the point of life. Money's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's not the point of life. Stuff is not the point of life. Relationships are not the point of life. Maybe even love is not the point of life. But we like to aim it in all those different directions, and we find out so quickly a lot of times it's just not true. It's not factual. None of that stuff is fulfilling. And the reason for that is there is a point to life, and that point is Jesus. And last week, we talked about that. And I just want to kind of come behind that this week and talk about it again. We're not going to use the same scripture we talked about last week, but last week was the jumping point for that. We opened up the Bible, and we looked at Matthew 6, and we talked about how Matthew 6 was inside of this thing called the Sermon on the Mount, that it's the longest recorded section of teaching in the scripture here from Matthew 5 to the end of Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus is sitting on this hillside and he's talking to these people that have come and they've gathered around Jesus to hear the word of God. Jesus was an amazing teacher. You've never heard of a teacher like Jesus. You've never seen a teacher like Jesus. Jesus was a different kind of guy because he was and still is very much so God in the flesh. And people responded to that. When people had the opportunity to hear Jesus teach and they knew he was coming to town, people would flock to this guy because Jesus taught like nobody else on the planet had ever taught. These were religious people. They had grown up around synagogue. They knew the Word of God. Most of them memorized some of the Word of God. They would have been taught the Word of God. They would have went to synagogue regularly, a lot of these guys. No matter what they were in society, this was a religious nation. It was a religious nation that really thought they had God figured out and thought they had this unique claim to God. And it turns out that there was something else there that God had always been talking about. And when Jesus showed up on this hillside that day, just like every other day, all these people flocked to Jesus and they wanted to hear him teach. They wanted to hear Jesus speak the word of God because Jesus spoke with an authority like no one else on the planet could or would or will ever speak. Because Jesus wasn't interpreting the word. Jesus is the word. And he could just flat out tell you what was going on. In this section of scripture, the Sermon on the Mount, it talked about all kinds of different things. It's kind of like one of those old-timey preachers where they just kind of start with a verse and they hit everything else in the Bible. And then at the end, they're like, amen. And we hope you get it all. That's what Jesus is doing in this section. And he starts out with the Beatitudes. Blessed are these people because this will happen. And blessed are these people because this will happen. And he moves through some different things. He talks about adultery. He talks about judgment. He talks about prayer. And then last week what we talked about was Jesus sat down in front of these people in the middle of this sermon and he casts perspective over their life. He looks at these group of people that would have been farmers and fishermen, all kinds of people working to survive every day, doing things to survive every day, trying to gain a little bit of upper hand in society maybe. And he looks at these people and he says, hey man, don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth. Like we talked about last week, Jesus was not maybe necessarily against people having material things, but it's this idea of treasures. Treasures are something that you pursue. We've grown up, there's a pirate here tonight, we've grown up around these stories of pirates, and these are these people that would go out and they would seek this treasure that may or may not be somewhere in the ground, and they would spend their energy and their life doing this, following this map, and they would dig a hole, and maybe it was there, maybe it wasn't there. We've all seen movies and TV shows and things like that, and Jesus was looking at these people and he's saying, don't spend your lives pursuing things. Don't waste your lives pursuing money. Don't waste your lives pursuing popularity. Don't waste your lives pursuing any of that stuff, because at the end of the day, if somebody doesn't take it from you and it doesn't rust and rot away, you're going to die, and then it's not going to matter anyway. He says, instead of that, spend your life pursuing heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's a pretty amazing verse, because we don't know how to do that. We don't know how to work to get things in heaven. And that's not the idea here, but he's saying, man, set your desires in heaven. Set what you're pursuing in heaven and in your life. Instead of pursuing these other things, just pursue God. He says, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And that was such an amazing verse and what we talked about last week, because it's such truth. You see, a lot of people, and a lot of us maybe even sometimes, set our treasure in other places. We set our treasure in people. We pursue people above God. We pursue things above God. We pursue wealth above God, popularity above God. We pursue something that's not God. And because of that, that is where our heart is, and that is where our affection is. And Jesus points out, man, that is a problem. See, the reason that's a problem is because you and I are not going to be here forever. You see, the reason life seems so pointless so many times is because as you get older, you realize you're not here very long. This is not a long ordeal. That you may feel like you've been here a short amount of time and you've got a long time ahead of you, but the truth is you don't know that, and I don't know that. And even if the youngest person in here was to live a very long life in the scope of eternity, that is nothing in Jesus. Saying, hey, why are you wasting your time chasing stuff down here when you ought to be chasing me, because I last forever and this stuff doesn't. See, Jesus last week to this group of people said, here's some perspective for you. Let me sum it all up for you. You're not going to be here long. And you're not taking any of this stuff with you. But there is a place that you can go, and there is a place that you can be, and if you invest in that place and you look for that place and you long for that place, that's what we've lost. This longing for this place, then that's where your heart will be. And that's where you will be. And man, it blew me away thinking about that last week. I thought about it for days and days and days after that. And I knew last week when we left here, we were just skipping right down to the next verse. So tonight, what we're going to focus on 25 and a couple verses down from there, but man, it's the same message. Jesus is the point. It's riding the coattails of what Jesus talked about last week. And in my little super titles, I guess, because they're above, it says, the cure for anxiety in my book. I don't know what it says about yours. But in verse 25, it's Jesus still talking, and he says, this is why I tell you. Because of this, because we talked about last week, because you can't serve God and money. This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life. You hear that? Jesus looks at these people sitting on this hill, and he says, hey, don't worry about your life. If somebody walked in here tonight, they're like, hey, don't worry about your life. Like, that's something that's not really instinctive for us, is it? We like to preserve ourselves. That's what we do. So I don't even ride roller coasters. I'm afraid, like, dude, I'll die on that thing. I'm not getting on one. Like, that's scary to me. Never been on a Ferris wheel. I don't like heights because I have figured out I cannot fly. It's a scary thing for me to be up on a ledge or to be up in something. I wasn't made to be up there. That's how I look at it, and I'm not getting up there. And I'm afraid of that stuff, I'll just be completely honest, because I am like you, a survivalist. I am by nature someone who worries about my life, because to be honest, I don't want to die today. I don't want to fall over right now. I still feel like I have two or three things left that would be cool to do before I go. And Jesus looks at these people and he says, don't worry about your life. And it's so backwards from us. you're like, man, that's a crazy statement of Jesus. And it really is, if you think about it. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the next day. Don't worry if you take your next breath. Don't worry about any of that stuff. It's literally what Jesus is saying here. He says, don't worry about your life. And then he elaborates a little. He says, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink. Jesus looks at these people, and it could have been, we're halfway through. It could have been some of these people were getting a little hungry, and they knew the Burger King was down the street, and they were like, hey, your sermon's getting long, Jesus. And he could have been saying, hey, don't worry about what you're going to eat after this thing. And I don't think that's what he was saying. Maybe that would be a good lesson. Maybe somebody should get up and say that every once in a while, because I go long sometimes. Hey, don't worry. So I'll just do it tonight. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, because it's Taco Bell. And we're going to go there after. But I don't think that's the depth of what he's saying. No, he's literally looking at these people and he's saying, don't worry about having something to eat or having something to drink. He just told them not to worry about your life. Don't worry about if you are alive or not. And then he follows that up with, don't even worry about if you have the basic necessities. You see, eating and drinking is a necessity. You can pretty much do without everything else in life. Like, you don't have to have somewhere to live. There are people that don't, and they're alive. You don't have to have a lot of things. You don't have to have a car. You don't have to have money. You don't have to have any of that stuff. You don't have to have shoes. But Jesus looks at these people, and he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. You see, you can go about 3 weeks without food. And you can go about 3 days without water. That's not a long time. And Jesus is looking at these people, and he's saying, don't worry about your basic necessities. Don't even worry about the things that you feel like you need to survive. Don't worry if you have food. If you have food, if you don't have food, not a big deal. Don't worry about that. If you have something to drink or you don't have something to drink, don't worry about that. You see, I think the reason he picked this is because we are guilty about worrying about a lot of things, aren't we? We worry about just about everything, to be honest. Some of us are professional worriers, and like we wake up and we're bothered about something that's coming 6 weeks down the road, and that's like our day, and we're always tore up, and we're always messed up, and we're always thinking, oh, something bad's going to happen. So we get up, and you're watching out for everything, because you're always worried. And Jesus is saying, man, you weren't meant to live that way. You weren't meant to worry about all this stuff. You weren't meant to worry about having stuff that you even need. You're not even meant to worry about your necessities. Don't worry about if you have food. Don't worry about if you have water. And then he goes on. And then he says, or about your body. This is totally non-cultural. We're the people that love how we look. We invest a lot of money in looking how we look. And Jesus says, hey, don't actually even worry about your body. Now, people don't want bad things to happen to your body. Like, nobody's like, oh, I would love to be mangled. That would be awesome. Like, if you just run me over, that would be cool. Jesus is looking at these people, and he's like, don't even worry about your body. Don't worry about your arms. Don't worry about your legs. Don't worry about your looks. Don't worry about any of that stuff. He says, don't worry about your body, what you will wear. He says, don't even worry about having clothes. I don't think Jesus is advocating here for like a New Jerusalem, nudist colony. That's what's going on. I don't think he's advocating that at all, although we were created that way. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying, hey man, don't even worry about having the right clothes to wear, or actually at all, having any clothes to wear. That would be a shame to walk around with that clothes. I think that'd be really awkward, and I'd probably stay inside a lot and shut my room door. And Jesus is looking at these people on the hill, and he's saying, don't worry about your body. Don't even worry if you have clothes. So many people spend so much time worrying about clothes, don't they? Like, I'm one of those people, so I can say this. I feel like I can pick on me a little bit, but it's always, man, what's this look like? What's this wear like? You know, we all want this. We all want to look like Chris Tomlin. Like, that goes on in my head. I'll just be honest. We spend a lot of time in that in our culture. We spend a lot of time worrying about, am I going to have the money to get this, or am I going to be able to wear this, or even beyond that, can I do something to make this where I can have this and wear this? Can I spend this amount of time or this amount of effort or this amount of energy to make sure that I have that? And we spend a great deal of money and attention and time seeking after these just basic things, let alone everything else. I think what Jesus is saying here, just in the sum of things, is not so much don't worry about eating and drinking, don't worry about clothes. I think what he's saying is don't get so caught up in that stuff. last week we talked about this idea that we've bought into this thing, that we're in this rat race, and we got to compete against people and have all this stuff, and we got to have the nicest this and the nicest that, and we have to do all these things and expend all this energy. And a lot of us will work hours and hours and hours and hours just to get this little green paper so that we can use this little green paper to buy other things, stuff. And Jesus is looking at these people and he's saying, hey, you got a problem. You got a problem, guys. You're spending all your effort and your energy chasing stuff. And just like last week, he cast a little vision into this and a perspective into this. And he says, isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? He looks at these people and he's like, dude, this life's about a lot more than what you're going to eat for dinner. It's worth a lot more, and there's a bigger point to it than, are you going to eat at the Burger King or the Ruth's Chris tonight? There's a bigger point to this thing. Are you going to be wearing a potato sack around? Or are you going to be dressed up in like the finest clothes? There's something more to it. And he looks at these people and he's like, do you really think this is all it's about? Do you really think that you were created, that you were intended just to go to work every day and kill yourself every day to do these things, to get this or to have this? Do you think that it's all about stuff? Actually, it's not even all about necessity. It's not even all about air. He could have picked that. He could have said, don't even worry about your next breath. Don't even worry about if you're in a room with oxygen or not. He could have said that. Jesus was just making the point, man, life is about so much more than comfort and necessity. And then he says this. He's sitting outside on a hill, so I guess he just used what was around. And he looks at these people and he says, hey, look up at the birds. Look up at the birds of the sky. He says, they don't sow or reap or gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He looks up and he sees these birds flying over. He says, hey, guys, let's just use an example from nature. Look up at those birds. He said, have you ever seen a bird with a rake? Like, you've never seen that. Birds don't plant gardens. Birds don't buy hoe fields. Birds don't break their backs working every single day and store up things for themselves. They're not trying to provide for themselves, is basically what he's saying. Birds are not out there searching and digging and working, trying to provide for themselves. They're just trusting in God to provide for them. Some of you guys are like, sweet, I don't have to work. Thank you, Jesus. And you're thinking, hey, that's cool. But that's not the point here. Now, I can say that because birds do something. They do this thing called migrating. Birds fly. I saw it yesterday. It's pretty amazing. Actually, I was passing the food city. My windows were rolled up. My radio was on. And there were so many birds sitting on this wire and flying around. The sky, A, looked black. And B, I could hear them with the radio on inside my car. And I have no idea where they're coming from, but there's this cool thing that they do. When the weather changes, birds will just pick up from one side of the globe and they will fly to the other side of the globe. It's crazy. They don't work, and they don't dig ditches, and they don't go to Knox County schools and teach kids all day long. They don't do any of that stuff, and they certainly don't try to hoard up things for themselves to make sure that in 6 months they have something to eat, but they just go where they're supposed to. Birds just follow the weather, because that's what birds do. Birds just do what they were intended to do, and because they do what they were intended to do, God provides for them. And I think the message there is Jesus is looking at these people and he's saying, hey, you don't have to worry so much about being the provider. You don't have to worry so much and break your back trying to make sure that you can do these things and amass these things and you can give everybody the best. See, we all have this instinct to provide. I provide. I don't have kids and I don't have family that I give stuff to, but I provide for me. I work, and then I use that money to provide for me, and sometimes I buy you guys stuff, if you're in the right place for my time. I'm a provider, and so are you, odds are, because we have that instinct where we think, man, we have to be about this, and we have to work to make sure that we got the best, or they got the best, or whoever has the best. And Jesus looks up, and he says, man, these birds aren't providers. He said, but they're provided for. They're not worried about making sure that all the little hens or whatever it is that hatch have something to eat every day. They're just seeking the one that is the provider. And because of that, God provides for them.
He said, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then this is the words of Jesus. He looks and he says, aren't you worth more than they are? He said, man, he provides for the birds. But the birds don't have barns. The birds don't dig holes. The birds don't plant corn. Aren't you worth more than some birds? They have something to eat for breakfast. And they got something to eat for dinner. Aren't you worth more to God than a bird? It says in 27, can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? Puts it in perspective for us, because we believe that for some reason that if we think about something enough or we put enough attention on something or worry about something, where Jesus sees enough that we can do something about it. And what Jesus says is, man, worrying is a waste of time. You don't have to worry about your food, because worrying is a waste of time. You don't have to worry if you have something to drink, because it's a waste of time. Let me just give you an example. Sit there and worry for a couple days about how tall you are and see, go measure yourself at the end of that and see if anything happens. It seems really simple, but I mean, it's honest, isn't it? It's truth, isn't it? You cannot do anything by worrying. Worrying has no power over anything other than us. Now, I can't change my circumstances by worrying. I can't change if I have money in my pocket by worrying. I can't sit here for 6 days on my butt and stare at my wallet and think, man, I have no money, and then open it up 6 days later and money be in that thing. That's just not how it works. And Jesus says, man, worrying doesn't actually accomplish anything. Worrying has no power over anything but you. He says, actually, you don't worry about your food, because I'll do that. Don't worry about your food, because I take care of the birds. And you're worth more than birds. Don't worry if you have something to drink, because the birds always have something to drink. And if the birds got something to drink, you're worth more than birds. I'll worry about whether you have something to drink. It says in 28, and why do you worry about clothes? Why are you worrying about what you're wearing or what you're dressing like? Why are you worrying about if you look like that mannequin or you don't worry about that look like that mannequin? Why are you worried about any of that stuff? Why are you worried about having stuff? He says, learn how the wildflowers of the field grow. I imagine there are probably flowers out there. And he probably pointed at them and he said, hey, look at those flowers. He said, have you ever seen flower labor or spin bread? You ever seen a flower make clothes? You ever seen a flower earn money to buy clothes? You ever seen a flower clothing shop? I'm not somebody who probably do that now. But I've never seen that. People don't make clothes for flowers, because flowers don't need clothes. And he says, you've never seen a flower work to provide for itself, have you? You've never seen a flower work to make itself anything. Flowers just grow. That's just what happens. Just by the natural process of a flower coming up out of the ground, a flower happens. And he says in 29, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. He says, man, you've never seen a flower work, have you? And he looks at these Jewish people that live under the name of Solomon, and he says, man, even Solomon in all his splendor was never, ever dressed like one of these flowers. You study Solomon very long and you figure out Solomon had basically all the money in the world. It says that in the Old Testament, it says when Solomon reigned, silver was just like stones in the ground, like it was worthless, like it was like a rock. You don't stop by and pick up rocks, do you? Maybe you're weird, but most people don't walk outside and like, oh man, this rock is worth so much money, and pick it up and try to go to Walmart. That doesn't happen. It's not worth anything. And that's the image. And the Bible is, man, if there was silver on the ground, you wouldn't even pick it up, because the kingdom was so rich in the days of Solomon. Solomon had all the money in the world. And people from everywhere in the world come to see this guy because he had all the wisdom in the world. By the way, he also had all the women in the world. So if you're a man in the house, maybe that's cool for you. He had more wives than you could ever count. And then non-wives than you could ever count. He had all the pleasure in the world. There's a book actually written by him, and he talks about how all that stuff is worthless. And Jesus here says, man, even with all of Solomon's money, not buy one single piece of clothing that matches that flower. If Solomon was to sell on eBay the entire kingdom of Israel, he could not get a big enough check to buy something that looks better than the flower that God made in the ground. In all of his life, he was never dressed like one of these. And then it says in 30 this, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? In the words of Jesus here, it's not the words like Paul, which would be cool, but it's not even that. Jesus, God here, looks at these people and he says, man, if Solomon with everything he could couldn't buy clothes like the flowers, with all his own effort and all his own might, couldn't buy one outfit like the flowers have, that God just puts on everything, by the way, won't he do much more for you? By the way, he adds in this little part, and he says, the flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow and thrown into the furnace. You ever seen like a flower bloom? It's like so beautiful. You know, man, that's the most amazing thing in the world. You come back like 2 days later and it's all shriveled up and nasty looking. And you're wondering how that got from that to that. Their lifespan is really short. Some of them don't make the night. Some of them don't make a day. Some of them don't make 2 or 3 days. Flowers' lifespan is really insignificant in the period of eternity in our lifespan, actually. And Jesus says, man, you see how fast those things die. They're so beautiful. God paints that beautiful picture, and then the next day it's dead. It's not the same anymore. He spends all that effort making it look like that for seconds or minutes or hours maybe, and then it's gone, and it's thrown in the fire. It's useless. And then he says, won't he do much more for you? If he'll do that for that period of time, won't he do more for you? And then it says this, and this is like the key. He says, you of little faith. See, the problem with worrying is worrying shows lack of faith. And if we're always worrying about this thing or that other thing, or if we have this thing or if we're going to get this thing, if we're always trying to provide for ourselves, that shows lack of faith. If we're always trying to work ourselves to the bone to get this thing or that thing, it shows, man, there's a lack of faith there. Because what he's saying, really, Jesus here is saying is, man, lean into God. Don't spend your effort trying to have stuff. Don't spend your effort trying to feed yourself or even have something to drink. You can't go 3 days without water, but I don't want you to spend your attention there, because if you spend your attention there, it shows that you don't have faith that I'm just going to do it. And if you're spending all that effort thinking about and scheming and trying to get all this stuff, it's not bad stuff. Water's not bad. I'm not saying you're a sinner if you want a glass of water. I'm not saying you're a sinner if you want a hamburger. I'm just saying that God here is saying, if that's what we're always thinking about, then we have a really small picture of who he is and a really big picture of who we are. Jesus looks at these people and he says, man, quit worrying about all these things. Just have faith. He says in 31, don't worry, saying, what will we eat? Took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed thousands of people with 12 baskets left over. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. He says, don't worry about what you're going to drink. And don't worry about what you're going to wear, because I've already taken care of all those things. You don't see tomorrow, and you're worried about tomorrow, and I'm already in tomorrow and doing stuff in tomorrow, so don't worry about tomorrow. You're worried about 3 weeks from now. Well, I've already been to 3 weeks. I've got that taken care of, so I'll just lay back and do your thing, and when you get there, you'll find out I'm already there. He says in 32, for the idolaters eagerly seek all these things. He says, here's why you don't worry about that. It's because that's what the idolaters do. The idolaters, the people that you probably make fun of because they're jumping around some calf cutting their arms right now. Those people, that's what they do. The reason they're worshiping those things, the reason they're seeking those things, is because really they think those things have more power than God. And when we worry and work for and strive for and run towards all these things, thinking that, man, we can provide for ourselves. We have made ourselves an idol, thinking that we can provide for ourselves better than God can provide for us. Or we've made a dollar bill an idol, thinking that that little piece of paper can provide for us better than our God can provide for us. You see, Satan has got us all bought into this lie that all life is about money. If you don't do this and you don't get this, then you won't have this. And if you don't have this, you just aren't going to be happy here. You just aren't going to make it. So you got to have this kind of house. You got to have this kind of car. You got to have this kind of stuff. You got to have this kind of food. And you got to drink these kind of things. And he's got us bought into the fact that Sam's Coke is not as good as Coca-Cola. And that's not true at all. And he's got us bought into this fact that we think we have to have the best of the best. So what we do is we spend all our energy and our effort working to get those things. We spend all our time trying to make sure that we're doing these things and climbing this ladder and working up to these things. And what he's really doing is he's got us bought into this thing, this dollar bill, this piece of paper is going to provide for us in a way that God cannot provide for us. You see, it's crazy really to think that we do that, but we do that. You see, if we talk about, hey, we're going to do something at church, what's the first thing we talk about? We talk about, well, we've got to check our bank account and make sure that we do all these things, and we check all these things. That's true for like every church on the planet. We don't do that much here. I'm just like, hey, let's do this. Debbie's like, okay. and then who knows? But we're bought into this thing, this piece of paper really means something. So we, as a world, really, will fight and bleed and die and work where we don't even see our families, or work where we don't have time to do anything else or to be effective in anything else, to grab this little piece of paper. And God's saying, hey, quit doing that, because it's the same thing as worshiping a cow. It's the same thing as dancing around a golden image. Quit expending all of the energy that you have seeking after something that I will provide for you anyway. And then he says, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. If you want a Lamborghini, that's on you. But like, he knows you need certain things, and he will provide those things. He says this, and here's what Jesus is really just summing up in the whole, some of the words he just talked about. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God. He looks at these people that pretty much just work to live. And he says, you know, like above all that, quit worrying about all that stuff and just seek the kingdom of God. And he could look at us and say the same thing. Not above all that stuff. Maybe he's not saying, hey, go sell your boat and never get back in that thing. He's not saying, hey, quit making chairs and quit doing all that stuff. He's not saying that. He's not saying go quit your job and be homeless. He's not saying that, although Jesus loves homeless. He's just saying above all that other stuff, while you're doing those things, put in perspective what it's supposed to be. Seek you first the kingdom of God. Before you expend all your energy doing all these other things, expend your energy seeking God's kingdom, working for God's kingdom, progressing the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Who's the righteousness of God? Well, that's Jesus. Jesus is the righteousness of God. And Jesus is standing here on this mountain and he says, hey, before you waste your life doing all this other stuff and trying to grab all this other stuff, I've got two things for you to think about. He said, first, what if you just quit all this stuff and putting the priority on this or that? And he said, hey, first priority is I'm going to seek the kingdom of God. And then the second priority, or right there with it, I guess, is I'm going to seek Jesus. I want you to seek the righteousness of God, not your own righteousness. He's looking at our religious people, and he's saying, seek God's righteousness. Don't work and earn and try to do it yourself, but just seek Jesus. then he says, and he will provide all these things. It's not an easy thing to do, really, when you think about it. Is it? It's not really an easy thing to come around. And I hope what you got from that tonight was not go quit your job, because I didn't tell you that. Go tell your boss that. You're on your own, man. But what Jesus is very much saying to us is, man, you've got your priorities wrong sometimes. You see, here's the truth of it, and here's where the tie-in is. A lot of us, when we do these things, end up making life about these things. Like I said last week, I was not created solely to go to work every day and to make sure I had something to eat. I was not created solely to go to work every day and make sure I had a car or a house or any of that stuff. I was not created for that. I was not created to seek wealth, and I was not created to seek pleasure, and I was not created to seek popularity. I was not created to seek any of that stuff. I was created to seek God. I was created for one reason and one reason alone, and that is to have a relationship with God. You can look at it right in Genesis. Adam and Eve were created to dwell with God, and that's what they did. Every day, God met with man, and that was the relationship. They knew what his footprint sounded like in the garden. They knew what it sounded like to hear God walk, because they had a relationship with God, because that's what they were created for. And then we see sin happened. They chose something else over God. They put something else there. Man, if I could just eat that, I would be like God. That sounds like a good thing, so I'll just go for it. God said not to. They did it anyway. And they aimed their life at something else. And because of that, the relationship was broken. They said, hey, this is more important to me than God at the moment. So relationship was broken. And for years and years and years and years, people suffered from that curse. Man, I cannot be with God, because I really just want something. See, that's the curse that we're all under right now. We're all under this curse that says, man, I was created to be with God, but I'm seeking something less than that. I was created to be with God and have a relationship with God, but a job. I've got to have a job. Man, I was created to be with God and have a relationship with God, but I've got to have pleasure. Life's about my happiness. Man, I'm created to be with God and to have a relationship with God, but you got to have money to survive. You got to have food. You got to have water. You got to have stuff. See, that's the curse, is we want other things more than God. And Jesus himself came to say, no, you don't. No, you don't. It's not about that stuff. It's never been about that stuff. Life's never been about pleasure. Satan lies. Life's never been about money. Satan lies. It's never been about comfort. Satan lies. It's never been about any of that stuff that Satan says it's about. It's never been about any of that stuff. See, the greatest thing that there ever was or ever will be for you is God. And anything else is less. And here Jesus is standing on a mountain full of people that for their whole lives have been looking at other things and saying, yeah, I mean, I'm following God too. Other people that said, yeah, I go to synagogue, say, oh yeah, I pray sometimes. Oh yeah, I got one of these things, and I got like a little, I got a menorah right here. I'm Jewish. Check the box. Jesus came to rescue those people from that. And say, hey, there's something there. On the side of this mountain, he looks at these people and he says, you know what? You're in a trap, and you're under a curse, and you're confused, and I get that, but I want to cast some perspective. Isn't life really more about where you're going to eat dinner? Isn't living really more than going to work? Isn't living really more than a nice house or a nice car or health or happiness? Doesn't there have to be something else? Don't you feel just a little empty? empty? Don't you feel like maybe, just maybe, there's something more out there? And then Jesus says, well, I got the answer. The answer is, why don't you seek what you were meant to seek? Why don't you look for what you were meant to look for? Why don't you look for a relationship with God? And why don't you throw all your effort into doing that? If you want to feel like life's happening, if you want to do what you were created for, why don't you quit worrying about money? Because God will take care of that. And why don't you quit worrying about food? Because God will take care of that. He does it for everything else. Why don't you quit worrying about that stuff and believing this lie? And why don't you just look for God? See, the illustration is this. So many times we have this target in front of us that we think we should aim our lives at, and the bullseye is something else. The bullseye in our minds is money or food, happiness or health or pleasure or relationships or whatever. If I could just have that, if I could just get that, if I could just be there, then I would feel something. I would feel complete. I would feel whole. I would feel alive. I would feel whatever. And the problem is that in the middle of that bullseye is God. The one thing we are created to aim our life at is this guy named Jesus. And when we shoot at those other things, it's just like throwing darts at the outer rings. You ever played that game? You don't want the outer rings. Like, that's not the... Some of us aren't even hitting the board. We're like, oh man, if I could just have 10 points... Man, if I could just miss. Man, if I could just throw an all around this board. And we're hitting whatever. And we're wondering why, man, at the end of the day, when we get to these goals and we get to these places, we feel so empty, and it's because our perspective is wrong. And Jesus says, hey, if you'll just aim at the right thing, if you'll just aim for the middle, if you'll just aim for God, he'll take care of the other things. If you just throw into a relationship with God and you seek God, he'll take care of food. He's got that category covered. If you'll just aim your life at God, he'll take care of money. He's got that category covered. Actually, if you just aim at God, he'll take care of happiness because he really has that category covered. If you'll just aim at God, he'll take care of all the other stuff that we think we need. Because all that we really need is Jesus. Because that's what we were created for. That's what we were made for. We need to quit chasing other things. We need to quit looking at other things and looking for other things, because there is no other thing. Because the greatest thing that there ever was, or is, or will be, is Jesus, and he is the point. He's the point. He's the reason. He is. Father God, and I would just thank you.